Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com. Phone, text, voice lines open, 813-693-2124. It's 813-693-2124. My name is Will Koontz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. How do you do? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm back doing the thing. We got some voicemails to play. We got some text messages to talk about from that line. We're going to get into that shortly. Nick Garolay will be here this week from My Florida Green. He's going to talk about pot this week, man. Yeah, man. It's everybody's favorite subject, man. Everybody loves it, man. I think we're going to get rid of some misconceptions about pot this week. Because I used to smoke pot. It was fun. I had a lot of fun smoking pot, but at a certain point, I put it aside out of my life because I had to become an adult and get work done. There's some people that can function and smoke pot and do a job, and I'm not one of those people. It was too good. Pot was too good. It made me too comfortable in my current situation, and my current situation at that time, to be honest, wasn't great. And I shouldn't have been comfortable in that situation. And I had to improve my situation. And I decided to put pot aside, and I started to do stuff, and I started to advance in my life. So, while I think it's a good thing, I think it's very helpful to a lot of people. For me, recreationally, it wasn't a positive thing. It's something I'm going to come back to, definitely, though, because I had a lot of good times smoking pot. It was fun. It makes movies better. It makes sex better. It makes just about everything more enjoyable, even bad stuff. And that's why it's so easy to fall into that routine of getting high every day, because it makes life much more bearable. Nick Garolay from My Florida Green will be here shortly. He's the CEO, and we're going to talk about medical marijuana here in Florida. But first, we got some action on the HMB radio line this week. First, we had a text message from an unknown individual. He says, "Hey, Will, great podcast. Zach most definitely deserves to be hit. That guy sucks, but so do a lot of other guys. Girls do, too. Everyone does. And we're all going to die." All right, a little dark. I tend to agree with you. I believe he's speaking about Zach Townsend. Zach Townsend is a local moron and occasional comedian and writer. And, I think we have a live call right now. Oh, my goodness, who's this?
He stinks, and I don't like him.
What?
He stinks, and I don't like him.
One more time.
He stinks, and I don't like him.
I know, I agree, sir. But Zach, you gotta, I mean, Zach's a good, he's a funny guy, right? I mean, come on. But we actually had another voicemail come in too regarding Zach. Not about the show, really, just talking about Zachy boy. Well, all right, I'll bite. Let's hear this call from Nighttime Weirdo, our good friend Nighttime Weirdo.
Well, I just learned it's not necessary to dial a 1 before you dial the 813-693-2124. If you don't recognize me, this voice, it's because this is my new voice, because the last time I left a message on your machine, I didn't think you were going to play it on the air, and you did. And I never realized how incredibly thinny my voice sounds, so this is the new voice I'm working with. It's Nighttime Weirdo. I apologize again. I certainly didn't mean to cast any aspersions so that your friend wants to punch me in the face. I don't want a knuckle sandwich from anyone, especially a guy who looks a little bit like Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting, if you know what I mean. Cross with a little bit. Maybe Jason Schwartzman. More Ben Affleck than Jason Schwartzman. Anyway, have a good show.
Thanks, Nighttime Weirdo. Don't give him compliments, though, on this line. And don't apologize, because as we all know and we've all heard,
he stinks and I don't like him.
That's right. So don't worry about offending Zach. Zach's an idiot. He is my friend, and he's an occasional co-host of this show, and he's a very funny man. But at the end of the day, he's an idiot. So don't worry about it, man. Don't apologize. By the way, I like your husky voice. It sounds much more manly, and I'm not as intimidated by you now, believe it or not. So thanks, Nighttime Weirdo, for calling in. If you want to call in and leave a voicemail, I encourage you to do that. 813-693-2124. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, @home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram, @home_made_man. Radio St. Peter, just Radio STPETE. That's it. It's easy as hell. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Don't forget, stay woke. Monday through Friday on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. That's the show with Anna Hummel, and I co-host for her every Monday through Friday after the Johnny B Show on 102.5 The Bone. If you're not in the Tampa Bay area and don't listen to the radio, who has a radio anymore? Tune us in online. Easy as that. TheBoneOnline.com. There's an app there that has full show replays from the night before if you missed anything. Streaming 24/7. Just search the iTunes or Google Play Store for the 102.5 The Bone app. You can listen to Radio St. Pete on TuneIn, and I believe my podcast is also available on TuneIn, but I implore you to please just subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay, and when you get there, hit subscribe. And if you would, if you could find it in your heart to rate that podcast, give it 5 stars, maybe say something nice in there, cool podcast, man, something like that. That would help us out tremendously, and I would thank you very much. If you want a sticker, I still have stickers available. I will send to you free of charge if you send me a mailing address to my email or Facebook or wherever, Twitter, whatever. TheHomemadeBroadcast@RadioSt.Pete.com, or you can get at me on Twitter, @home_made_man. Facebook is just HMB Radio. Send me a message. I'll send you out some stickies that you can put wherever you want, on your butt. I don't care. I mean, as long as you're wearing it, that's all I care about. Nick Garrelay from My Florida Green will be here very shortly. I want to say thank you very much to our sponsors, though. Tap House 61, Tap House, the number 6, the number 1.com, Facebook.com/Tap House 61. Wednesday night, the best trivia in town, I say. That's right. I was just at Tap House 61. This past Saturday, hung out with Jesse, the Viking bartender down there. I don't know what he's going by. He's got a lot of nicknames. He's a very large man with fair complexion. Does look like a Viking that raped and pillaged at one point in the past. But he's not. He's a sweet man. He's very knowledgeable about beer. And Tap House 61 is just a place to be. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. And True V Salon and Spa. That's TRUV as in victory. YSalonAndSpa.com. You can make an appointment. Right there, St. Pete's bestest place to get pedicures and hair colorings and haircuts and all this stuff that you like to do. Men and ladies, they take anybody there. I get my hair cut there. TruVSalonAndSpa.com. It's located at 8908 4th Street North, right here in St. Petersburg. So make an appointment at TruvySalonAndSpa.com. Also, HomemadePodcasts.com. That's Homemade Podcast with an S and .com there. That's my podcast consulting company. I'm working with Creative Loafing Tampa right now. I'm producing their podcast for them, The Clap. Check that out at cltampa.com/podcast if you want to see some of that work that I can do. If you've been interested in podcasting, you want to get started, don't know how, don't understand the equipment, all that stuff, I can help you. Go to homemadepodcasts.com and fill out the contact form there. And it's a free consultation if you're interested about starting a podcast. All right, Nick Garrelay from MyFloridaGreen.com is coming up this week on the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSt.Pete.com. So let's talk about My Florida Green.
All right, man.
And how that came to be and how you became involved in it and what made you passionate about medical marijuana.
So I'll go, there's a backstory. I was an exotic car dealer. I started a business. I moved from Boston. I grew up rough. And in the area where I grew up, it's right on the border of Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It's called Bellingham, Massachusetts. It's like the armpit of the universe. And, you know, we got in fights for fun. We got, you know, messed up on drugs and alcohol for fun. And, you know, by the time I hit the age of 18, I was either going to go to jail or end up in rehab or dead. So I kind of moved to Florida as like a last resort, as many people do. That's kind of why Florida is kind of a fun state. I moved down here in 1996 with nothing. I had a Mazda RX-7. That had some bullet holes from being shot at on the, down the passenger side. So that's a whole nother side story.
Yeah.
So I came down. My mom had a condo in this like really nice area that she was renting, and I walked across the street. I got a job as a waiter. Now I had a Boston accent, really strong one back then. And so when I would walk up to these rich or wealthy Midwest people, I'd be like, hey, how do you like your food? It's wicked good, right? It's wicked good. And then these people would look at me, and I didn't make anything for tips. So I had to pronounce my R's and practice in the mirror. So I started to finally make money. I saved up $6,000. I started a car dealership. And discovered eBay back in 2000 and built this car dealership into a $29 million company for 2011, only to have it taken away from me by my CFO, who was like a father to me, who embezzled over $500,000. So 2012, I went through a sales tax audit, an embezzlement, and a divorce. It's amazing how unattractive you become when you go broke, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, I lived an amazing life. I had a big $3 million house on the water that I had no business buying. I was leveraged out the max, but you know, I had a house on the water, I had a boat in the back, and had all these exotic cars and a really sexy lifestyle that looked really good from the outside, but I was miserable, which is not fulfilling. So I was able to kind of rebuild after I got a divorce and collapsed the company. I rebuilt another one and started to do really good, and just I kind of burned out after 20 years of being in the exotic car business. And I met this guy over in Colorado by the name of Trip Kieber, biggest THC-infused product producer in the country. All right. His brother, Peter Kieber, who I'm also very tight with, that's who I was just with. So, and he lives right here in St. Pete. But when I met Tripp, he was just, he's the CEO of this company, Dixie, at the time. And he was just larger than life. And he was selling THC-infused products. Like, he was known as the Willy Wonka of the marijuana space.
Was this probably not legal at the time?
It was in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
In Colorado. Gotcha. So sorry, maybe I left that part out. So I flew over to Colorado with my wife and my best friend and his girl. So and they knew Tripp, so they introduced me to him. And so we spent the weekend with him and partied with him. It was just so fun, and he was just such a charismatic guy. And he was in the marijuana industry, which is like the sexiest thing ever. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this could be like another thing that I could get involved in that's really sexy but fulfilling, because it's not taking advantage of anybody, not catering to the wealthy people. It's kind of catering to everybody. And, you know, maybe I can get involved. And then I quickly realized that that wasn't really reality, because when I came home to Florida, this was back in 2015, marijuana wasn't even close to becoming legal. So there's, you know, it kind of fell to the wayside. And I went through a little bit of a midlife crisis and started and failed a couple other businesses. And then finally, it became apparent that medical marijuana is going to pass, right? And this became apparent in October, but November obviously was when Trump was voted in and medical marijuana was also voted in. So I put up a splash page, and this splash page was just, you know, basically to gear or measure the market here in Florida. I wanted to know if these people were legitimately sick or if they were really applying for marijuana for a qualifying condition. And I quickly realized that these people were not only sick, but a lot of them were dying, and I developed a relationship with them. So I built a telemedicine software, actually purchased existing software and made it into my own. And I started facilitating patients, connecting them with a couple doctors that I was working with. And we started facilitating medical marijuana recommendations, and it became life-changing for these patients. Some of them, it saved their life, and I just became completely committed at that point. 18 months, I'm in this 18 months now. I still haven't cut myself a paycheck. Those days are coming. I'm starting to finally cash flow. I've drained all my bank accounts and put myself as well as my family at risk, but it's all been very well worth it because I've seen cancer rid of the body dozens of times now, not just once. I've seen children that are autistic with those symptoms, you know, kind of subside. Obviously, you're not curing that, but ADD, ADHD. I've just seen so many veterans that are taking 18 to 28 different medications every day that are no longer taking medications at all because they're medicating with a plant that has grown out of the ground that has killed no one ever in history. So I'm very passionate about it, and you know, it's been a bumpy uphill battle. And that was a very long answer to the one question.
That's perfect, though. That gave me a lot of information. Yeah. What has been the biggest challenge for you as far as getting this business off the ground?
Well, you know, I didn't... So I have 5 medical marijuana certification centers is what I call them, even though they're like medical marijuana clinics, if you want to kind of simplify it. But I try to remove the clinic part out of it because I don't want it to be so medical. There's no hospital beds. There's no defibrillators. You're not coming in and dealing with nurses and all that stuff. You know, the challenge was really finding what I knew what I wanted. I knew that I had the ability to implement technology. I knew that I could simplify the whole process because this process is extremely difficult. But I think the biggest challenge is really finding the doctors. I mean, the doctors have this like massive ego, and they're so arrogant, and they have this God complex. And you know, if you think about it, like the doctors are the ones that kind of got us into this mess anyway because they became big pharmas. What's the language like on this? Do we have to?
I try not to.
Okay.
But I can always bleep it out if need be.
The doctors kind of became big farmers' outlet, you know.
Right.
And I wanted to say bitch, but
that's cool. That works. Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
But and they're getting kickbacks, and the big farmers paying for their Porsches, and meanwhile your grandma died because of the opiates she's taking. You know what I mean? So I started to learn a lot of those stories too, and I just came really passionate about. But the doctors have been the most challenging. I have 4 that work with me and pretty much full time. And one of them, who I adore and is just a total rock star, is Dr. Mark Hashem. And he's here in Tampa, and he comes and facilitates or certifies patients at our St. Pete Clinic, which is located right around the corner here on Central Ave. But yeah, biggest challenge, you know, short answer would be, having the relationship or initiating and maintaining the relationship with these doctors that just think they know everything when most of them are pretty clueless on cannabis because, let's be honest, they were taught that it's bad.
As
they go through their education in med school.
Mm-hmm. What about the federal government as far as putting pressure on, you know, local clinics? They're not obliging state law. They're saying federal law trumps that whole thing, and what's been your experience with that?
It's actually the opposite. So the state law trumps the federal law. So obviously it's federally illegal, but each state has voted it in for medicinal, and then I think we're 31 medical states now, and we're 7 recreational, aka adult use. Uh-huh. So. The federal government, there is that risk. I think the cat's out of the bag, though. You can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? We're following the same law and scheduling from the 1960s from Nixon. I mean, marijuana was voted out when it was originally cannabis, and it always has been cannabis, and somebody came up with this racially charged word of marijuana. I still use it. Doesn't mean that I'm racist, but marijuana is sometimes is a little more aggressive than cannabis. Cannabis can be forgotten quickly, and marijuana is more has a bigger impact sometimes, so I use both. But yeah, we're following some laws that are, you know, over 50 years old. It doesn't make sense.
Right, right. What has been your experience as far as people saying, I know somebody personally who uses marijuana illegally.
Right.
And they're afraid that by trying to get their medical card, that it's going to jeopardize their career.
Yeah, so, that you know, and that comes up with, because we've done over 3,000 patients now across the state of Florida. So I want to kind of throw that out there, too. So this isn't like a concept that we're trying to prove here. Like, this is a business now, and we're changing the world, and that's I'm honored to say that, right? So the people that are using marijuana, and I don't say illegally, I would say recreationally, right? They have found their zen. They've found the part of the plant or the delivery method that they want to administer the medicine, and they found it, right? So the only thing that makes it illegal is the fact that they don't have their medical marijuana certification. And I urge anyone that's out there to sign up, because there is a qualifying condition in there, you know, that you'll qualify under. I mean, there's only really 9 qualifying conditions, but you have the other like kinder class, and a lot of patients fall under that. For example, anxiety. Everyone suffers from anxiety. Well, anxiety is an other like kinder class comparable to PTSD. And no one, the doctor, you know, Amendment 2 gives the doctor the ability, you know, the discretion to certify the patient under one of those conditions. So, and no one will ever challenge that. But even though they've done a great job instilling the fear into the market that they won't, because there's way too much effort there. And who is anyone to say that you don't suffer from anxiety, which is comparable to PTSD, or that person over there doesn't suffer from anxiety, PTSD. I mean, if you've ever had an anxiety attack, especially when you're in traffic, it's the same, if not more, same comparable as PTSD. PTSD is not necessarily just for the soldiers that have kind of gone and fought for our freedom. And God bless them, and I honor them and respect them. But, you know, moms that have a 3-year-old at home, you know, can suffer from very similar symptoms, and therefore they qualify. We don't turn many people away, you know. So as far as your friend that we're talking about, I would urge them to get on myfloridagreen.com and click on Get Started. Let's do this.
Is it, could a, you know, your employer say, can they research that and say, oh, she's got medical marijuana card. I don't want to hire.
I guess I didn't really answer the question. I just realized that. So, <That's all right. laughs> maybe I need my medical marijuana. So yeah, it's a case by case basis. So, you know, if you work for the sheriff's department, you know, chances are it's not going to work out, you know, but if you work for, you know, a bigger company that has a policy in place and they randomly drug test you, I would suggest, you know, clearing it with the boss first. If you're concerned about them testing you in the future and they don't do random drug tests, I wouldn't worry about it too much, but it really is a case-by-case basis, and I urge patients to be vigilant about it and obviously do their due diligence with their employer or take the risk, you know, because there's going to be a ton of patients that are employed by companies that are going to be challenged. I mean, we've had a couple already that one was a college girl who was going to school for nursing, right? Nurses go under, or when they're being educated for nursing, they're under some scrutiny, and she was forthright with them and let them know that she was applying for medical marijuana because this helps her. She has Tourette's, super cute girl. Okay, this girl's like 20 years old, super, super cute, and she suffers from Tourette's. The only thing that helps her is cannabis, and when she takes cannabis, she stops ticking. Right? How could you possibly take that away from that girl, right? And this college actually, they attempted to. And then I actually got our attorney involved, and we wrote a letter, and she's now, you know, finishing the class, or finishing the school. So your friend, you know, it's really a case-by-case basis. You know, obviously let's not talk about the company, but, you know, it depends on the company. And we are seeing a lot more leniency, though. You know, like I said, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, Nick Arale from My Florida Green is here today. We're talking medical marijuana. So what would you say the biggest misconception about medical marijuana is?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you just asked that question. So, excuse me. The biggest misconception about medical marijuana is it's not about getting high. And a lot of people seem to, you know, associate medical marijuana with smoking a joint. And it's really not that at all. In fact, the smokable marijuana is still technically, quote unquote, illegal in Florida. But you can use concentrates in like a vaporizer form. So to kind of bring all that home, when you vape, you have capillaries in your lungs that trap the vapor and deliver the compound to your bloodstream instantly. It's the fastest in and fastest out. So it's about 20 minutes to 2 hours of relief period. And I leave that window open because everyone's different. So that's not necessarily promoting the harmonic balance, which is what you're looking for. We're all born with an endocannabinoid system that's part of our central nervous system, and it's responsible for harmonic balance. When we balance, we accomplish homeostasis, which is our ability to heal naturally. So when you reintroduce cannabinoids into your endocannabinoid system, you're promoting natural healing. That's the simple, dumbed-down version of how cannabis works in the body. Smoking marijuana, smoking weed, smoking cannabis, inhaling vape, however we want to, you know, characterize our word here, is capillaries in your lungs delivering the compound. It is not necessarily promoting balance or harmonic balance. When you smoke weed or inhale cannabis, oil, whatever, you're doing it to get high or for pain relief or two of one and the same, right? So the real medicinal value is in the harmonic balance. So sublingual, under the tongue. Here, I got my sublingual right in my pocket here. I just went to Knox here on the way over here. So this is sublingual, okay? And I'll pass this over to you so you can smell it, because this is like super strong. But this is a 1-to-1 ratio. So this is one part THC to one part CBD in the sublingual. So you put this oil underneath your tongue. When you let it sit there for 60 seconds, it's sublingual absorption. So 20% is absorbed quickly and 80% is metabolized. The relief period here, I'll pass this over to you. It's loose now, okay?
All right.
The relief period is between 3 and 6 hours with sublingual. So now you're promoting that harmonic balance for the reintroduction of it.
Smells like pot. I can clarify.
That's definitely the real deal right there. So, you know, and then here, this is my vape here. So vaping, you pretty much vape to escape, right? Or you vape for pain relief, or you vape to get stoned or high, right? So, but that is treating a condition. Now, what are you going to do to prevent it? To prevent the condition, you know, you want to harmonically balance, and that's where the sublingual comes in.
Is there a different type of high between the droplet and the inhale?
Definitely. I would compare it more to like an edible, you know, eating an edible compared to smoking weed. Edibles, you know, the simplest version would be like a body high, you know, with an edible, where you're smoking is more of like a head high. And keep in mind, it's quick in and out when you smoke or inhale. The sublingual, you know, I always urge our patients to do both, you know, sublingual and, like I said, one is treating the pain and one is preventing the pain. The CBD, let's talk about the compounds in the plant too, because I think that's important. So you get THC and CBD. Those are the two primary compounds, even though it's like 620. THC is short for tetrahydrocannabinol. That's the psychoactive part of the plant. That's the fun stuff, and that's what's illegal. CBD is short for cannabidiol. So CBD is known for inflammation, anxiety, blood pressure, blood sugar regulation, right? Those four ailments that I just kind of threw out there, everyone suffers from, everyone right. needs help with, right?
Yep.
The THC, not so much. Fortunately and unfortunately, one needs the other to fully ignite the entourage effect in the endocannabinoid
system. Oh, okay. So you couldn't just take the CBD.
You can. Yeah,
okay.
You totally can. And I'll kind of segue that into that in a second. So if you are going to just take CBD without THC at all, because there is a lot of THC-free product out there where the extractor will actually extract the THC from the oil, and when that's the case, then it becomes almost it can become snake oil because there's a lot of fake stuff out there.
Right.
So if you are going to do a THC-free CBD, don't buy it at a gas station or a vape store. You want to have testing results with it, attached to it. But you also want to make sure that it's super high milligrams. So 350 milligram, 500 milligram, 1,000 milligram, this 20 milligram, 100 milligram, the stuff they sell on Amazon is just absolute garbage. And people, you know, waste their money on it. Like, oh, this stuff doesn't work. And then it makes a bad name. So eventually the government's going to step in and probably regulate that. But I don't know.
Do you think that would be a good thing if they did that or a bad thing?
Probably I don't know. Anytime the government's involved, it doesn't necessarily make it a good thing.
Sure.
But I think that there should be some type of regulatory fashion because, you know, there's a lot of fake CBD out there, and you get people that are that buy this by kilos, and it actually looks like cocaine. When I say the word kilo, they get this powder, they mix it in with like an MCT, which is coconut oil, and they put it in a bottle, and they're selling it as CBD. And you know, is that cannabinoid rich or does it have cannabinoids in it? Yes. But, you know, is it the same as a full spectrum oil that's extracted through ethanol or CO2? No. So, I mean, there's like 80 different, you know, conversations we could spool off of with that one. But, you know, at the end of the day, smoking weed or inhalation is really for pain relief. And then you have to do a sublingual oil under the tongue or ingesting through a capsule or an edible. Edibles are great. But, you know, the problem with edibles is some people have bad experience because you're ingesting. And then
I had a bad experience. Can I tell you my story?
Go for it. Yeah,
I always like telling this one. Yeah. So I was smoking pot for a period of time, I don't know, more than 5 years ago now.
All right, we got to move in.
my friend went to Colorado. This was way before it was legal here. And she brought back the only thing I'd describe them as is the little Listerine strips. Are you familiar with those?
Those are dangerous. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she says, okay, so here's the deal with these. Don't take the whole thing, cut it in a quarter, and see how you feel, and then you can kind of dose
right
after that.
Yeah.
So I said, this isn't my first rodeo. I'll be fine, thanks. Yeah,
right.
So I did the quarter. Mm-hmm. I did that. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I waited a little bit. You know what? I think I'll take another quarter. So I did that. I'm waiting around. I'm just going to take the whole thing. Why not? Mm-hmm. And I thought this was a period of, I don't know, at least an hour. Mm-hmm. I think it was more like 15 minutes, frankly, because I was having a great time stretching, watching Game of Thrones in my room, and all of a sudden I went to the bathroom and caught myself in the mirror and went into that spiral into Neverland and thought about all of the negative things I had done in my life.
Whoa.
I thought about that kid I pushed into the locker in sixth grade.
Yeah, that's some dark stuff.
All the things I was like, oh my God, I'm garbage. You know what? I'll just go to sleep and I'll wake up tomorrow and this will all be over.
Big mistake.
I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning, opened my eyes. I was as high as I've ever been in my life.
Still stoned.
And I had to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a traumatic day. I think it took about 2.5 days for it to fully wear off.
So, really funny. I'm really laughing about this because I am super sensitive to cannabis. I always have been. And when you ingest, take the sublingual underneath the tongue, it can be extremely powerful because you're metabolizing it now and it's coming out your digestive enzymes out your liver, right? So sometimes it can take between 1 and 3 hours for you to feel the effects. And what do you do when you take a capsule or an edible and you don't feel the effects? You take another
more.
One.
Right. Exactly. Makes sense.
So 2-3 hours kicks in and all of a sudden you've turned into a jellyfish in the middle of your living room floor. So, and that's the thing. You think you're going to, I'm just going to go to sleep and sleep it off, and you wake up and you're still stone. In fact, you're more stone because it's like set into your body now. So I've had similar scenarios. I've had, you know, I think another obstacle or a challenge in the whole medical marijuana space is these doctors are prescribing marijuana, and that is not what you do, because when you prescribe, you're basically you're making yourself liable, right? You open yourself up to liabilities because you're saying, okay, take this many milligrams in this delivery method and it should work. Well, a prescription is regulated and mandated at a federal level by who? The DEA. Mm-hmm. And this is a federally illegal drug. So the whole thing's an oxymoron just from the start. And then when a physician prescribes, especially one that has no idea about cannabis and the effects of it. Now, if that physician is a patient, you know, all for it. Go for it. Go ahead and titrate for the patient because you know what you're talking about. But the problem is everyone's different. Your metabolism is different than mine, right? And vice versa. Mm-hmm. So you're going to break down the compounds differently. It all depends on the strain. It all depends on where your body's at, where your mind's at, you know, because there's a lot of mental psychoactive stuff that goes on too, where you can think like some crazy stuff, like what you were doing. And, you know, I would have embraced that. There's a silver lining in everything. And maybe that was like kind of your inner endocannabinoid system trying to push that junk out.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of speculative at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you, I know there's been a lot of research with medical marijuana. Now they're pushing research into MDMA and psilocybin. Have you done anything with that, with My Florida Green? Are you
asking me if I've done ecstasy or mushrooms?
No, I mean, as far as business is concerned, anyways.
Well, I can tell you this. MDMA is a phenomenal drug, and I hope that it does become legal, and I think it will. I really do. I personally have friends that are war veterans, combat war veterans that have so much stuff that they've compartmentalized with like shooting and deaths. And like, these are like Green Beret type of people, you know, and I've done MDMA with them, you know, years back, and they're 100% cured of PTSD. So I think that there's unbelievable medicinal benefits from the MDMA and mushrooms too. Mushrooms are I recommend both of those drugs or both of those methods at least two or three times in a person's life, because first of all, MDMA releases all those endorphins and that ecstasy feeling, and it's amazing. And then mushrooms could go one way or the other.
Yeah,
as long as you're in a safe setting, make sure it's in like a
good right group frame of mind too. You have to be like not depressed. You have to really be present in order to do those things. You can't be focusing on your past or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you also, as soon as you start tripping off of the psilocybin, you forget about all that, you know. But, you know, so I guess, you know, the answer is no. My Florida Green won't be doing anything with that. However, I would love to. I'm always going to stay connected to the stuff that the government has hindered us from, because that's really why I got so passionate with My Florida Green is I began to understand that the federal government and the big pharma companies created an intricate system back in the 60s, and they created this massive scam on the American people when they voted marijuana illegal or made it scheduled marijuana, mm-hmm. right, as a Schedule I drug. And these people are suffering, and one pill leads to another pill that leads to another pill, and it's like this designed system, it's this designed economy, you know. And eventually, you know, people are going to wake up and get smart. I just, you know, unfortunately, people in mass, not Massachusetts, but people in mass are really stupid, because we just kind of are sheep. You know what I mean? Most of us, we're followers, right?
Is it because people are afraid of the consequences maybe, or are they just...
No, it's because people's minds are poisoned from the stigma. They're taught that, I mean, Reefer Madness, have you ever watched those videos?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, yeah,
those are from the 30s, you know? So Reefer Madness is still alive today. I mean, if you listen to Jeff Sessions talk, I mean, that guy is, he was just in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and the guy sat on stage with a straight face and saying, if people are in pain, tell them to take a Bufferin. I think he was talking about ibuprofen.
Right,
and,
right.
And then
pray, you know, about it, you know. Yeah, it'll be all right.
Well, and you can clearly see the rosea on the guy's face. Like, he's a drunk. Like, yeah, he's an alcoholic. Yeah, yeah. Like,
the gin blossoms.
And here he is talking like all this stuff. But, you know, it doesn't get serious until your kid has epilepsy, mm-hmm. right? Or your mom develops breast cancer, you know, or someone dies from an opioid overdose, or you find your sister in the bathroom with a needle hanging out of their arm. That's when shit gets real, you mm-hmm. know? And then you start to think like, wow, like what is going on? Like, how have we been so stupid to be programmed? I mean, we're programmed by so many different things now, but like, you know, our government has done a great job at programming us, and now they're being exposed. Like, that's why everything's so crazy now, right? You know,
It seems like they're loosening up, though, quite a bit.
Well, with marijuana, yeah. Because now it's undeniable now. Like, mm-hmm. your head is so far in the sand or so far up some, you know what, to state that marijuana has no medicinal value. I have actually stood and had debates with, like, leaders of hospitals where they're like, there's no scientific data that states that marijuana. And I'm like, how about thousands of years of use and no one's ever overdosed? You can't die from marijuana. You can die if a brick falls on your head and you're smuggling it. You know what I mean? But you can't overdose from marijuana. You know, you can go to sleep and wake up still stoned. But I mean, come on. Like, the worst thing that's going to happen if you overdose on marijuana is you're going to get high, stoned.
Right. And you know, hang out, watch some movies, play some video games, you know, whatever. And I think that's a big thing, too, is people say, well, even medically, they're just using it because they want to get high. So?
Who are
so
you?
So what?
Who are you? Who cares? You to determine how they're using it, right?
Right.
Like, who? Like, what business is it? That's why I chuckle about the Department of Health here in Florida. I'm sorry. Like, how are they going to justify when they have no idea what they're talking about? I mean, these people are old. And you know what? The best part about all of this, I take that back. Not the best part. The funny thing about the whole thing is that eventually these people are going to die off, right? And literally going to die off because they're old, right? They don't, they will not convert into reality because it's 2018. But, you know, it's sad. It's really sad that we are programmed as a society and we are a pill-popping society, too. We're taking pills that need another pill, that need another pill after that. It's a design system. Our system, our internal bodies are suffering from it. I mean, the gut stuff, like your digestive system, the abuse that it takes from all these antibiotics and all these opioids and all these benzos. And we got kids. We have children. Like, our children are taking these benzos. They're taking Adderall. Right. I mean, you know, it really, another reason why I'm super passionate about this, I'm sure I could list 20 more other things, but my son is 10 years old. He was in third grade last year. And third grade's a big year for the FCATs or FSAs or whatever they call them. And his third grade teacher suggested that he be put on Adderall because he has ADHD. Mm-hmm. This third grade teacher diagnosed my son.
Yeah.
And my ex-wife, his mom, went ahead against my consent and put him on the Adderall. And I found out about it and I just went bananas because I'm in the medical marijuana space and I am all about no synthetic medicine and heal yourself naturally because I've seen it work. It's amazing. And my son fell victim of Big Pharma and our government and our intricate school system, right? And I just, you know, that's when things really got like serious for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I became extremely committed even more than, you know, I was before. So
I just watched I think it's called Take Your Pills or something like that on Netflix.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I watched that the other night too. Yeah.
It was intense, man. These kids are from, you know, 10 years old, then they're going to college. They have to check their poo and make sure it's not changing colors mm-hmm. so that you don't have this problem with marijuana.
No.
And I also think a lot of it is just a war on boys too, because any sort of, I don't know, masculinity is perceived as not great as far as being in the classroom, being rambunctious, being a boy school. Man. You're not paying attention. You're being a little boy.
You're definitely touching on a lot of subjects here that I'm very passionate about. So, yeah, I mean, so you have a classroom of 25 kids and five of them step out of line. They don't conform to the curriculum. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, hey, these kids have ADHD and let's get them on the stimulants, which is a performance enhancing drug.
Yeah.
It's the same as steroids to the NFL. Mm-hmm. But yet we're going to put this methamphetamine into our children. So long story short, I protested. I put medical marijuana down the side of my car, 10-foot stickers. And I'd pull up to the car line every day, and these people would just snub me. And this is a very prominent school in Naples, so mm-hmm. I made my point. He lives with me full time now, and he does not take Adderall, and he never will. He's against it, and he will. He's 10 years old, and he can educate a whole room of people on what cannabis is and how. He's actually shadowed me. He's been in our certification centers. He's seen me educate patients and talk about delivery methods. He's seen it. I show it to him. He's fascinated about it. He wants to be involved because he wants to change the world like his dad.
Right on. I think that's a great exit there. Nick, if somebody wants to get started or is thinking about perhaps trying medical marijuana? How do they get started?
MyFloridaGreen.com. Go to the website, click on Get Started. You fill out a small registration form. You'll pay a small fee. As soon as you do that, you'll get an email with a questionnaire. It's a link to a questionnaire. It's on a HIPAA-compliant server. I wrote all the software. I have the only medical marijuana software in the state of Florida that's state-compliant. So, and I wrote that over the last 18 months, too. And it's just been, like I said, a bumpy road. But we are certifying patients like crazy. It's awesome. It really is. And the best part is, and also, anybody out there, go to My Florida Green on Facebook and like our page, because you'll see all the updates. So all of our, so the state requires that you see the doctor for a physical evaluation every 7 months. And there's a bunch of these doctors that say, oh, you got to come back every 30 days, every 45 days so we can monitor you. Whatever. It's a bunch of hogwash. If that doctor's trying to take advantage of you, you shouldn't be spending any more than $300 to $500 a year for your certification right now. And all that's going to change. But, you know, every 7 months, we have to see the patient physically for per state law. So our 7 months are all coming in now into our certification centers, and they all want to post a video. They all want to do reviews because they've had such amazing luck with it. So I urge people to go to our Facebook, My Florida Green, and check out those videos, because there's a lot of like different ailments and stuff that you'd never think, and it's been amazing, man.
Right on, Nick. One more question I just thought of just now. Is there anything that will disqualify you from getting your besides being diagnosed, obviously, is there anything? I've heard having a concealed weapons permit will disqualify you.
I love that, because I was just going to segue into that. And I'm going to show you the answer, and you can announce it here. So I'm going to show you my medical marijuana card first. So that you can see what it looks like, right?
Yep.
Okay, so there it is.
Check it out.
And then I'm going to show you my concealed weapon permit. Which is
So that's not true. You can have a concealed and a
total misconception. So the Department of Health, the Department of Agriculture, they do not communicate, okay?
I see.
Where it hinders your ability is to buy a brand new gun from a brand new gun store. So buy up a bunch of guns. unpaid advertisement for Smith & Wesson there. No, buy up a bunch of guns if you're a gun freak, you know. I am not. I have a couple because they're kind of cool, and I like shooting guns with my son at the range.
Sure.
And I wear my marijuana T-shirt, my Florida Green marijuana T-shirt, and it's kind of funny. But you can't buy a brand new gun because it's a form. It's a section of the form, the ATF form. It's 441 or 443 or something like that, where they ask you if you are legally or illegally using marijuana. But all that's going to change too.
You know,
the last thing you're going to do stoned is reach for your gun to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
But if you're drunk, it's ready, fire, aim, right?
Sure, no doubt. So they can't confiscate weapons if you already have your concealed permit and have guns in your home. The government can't come in and take your guns.
Absolutely not, no. Gotcha. And there's not one documented case that they've said. There was one BS story out of Hawaii where the sheriff was going to go and collect all the guns from all the marijuana patients, and it never happened. It's all a bunch of nonsense. And you know, so you get three characters in the medical marijuana space here in Florida. You have activists, you have advocates. So the activists are the ones that are marching in the streets with the tie-dyes and the unicorns, right? And then you have advocates, which are the people that really want to help the sick people, right? And then there's whacktivists, right? The whacktivists are just the people that don't even really know what they're doing, but they just support marijuana and they smoke marijuana. And they just want everybody else to smoke marijuana. So, I want to touch on one thing before we go. Flower is not legal right now. So smokable marijuana, you can't roll a joint. And there's a lot of diehard hippies that like are really upset about that. But just so you know, I support and agree with the fact that flower is not legal yet, because our average patient demographic is 62 years old. That's statewide. 80% of those patients are cannabis naive, meaning, yes, they've smoked it once when it was in Woodstock, but then they ended up maybe dancing naked in a muddy field somewhere, and they don't want to relive it, right?
Right, right.
So it's very important to titrate and to have a measured dose. So you're not going to hand that patient a bag of weed and say, here, this is medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So even when flower does become legal, I think there should be some type of probation period so that the patient can titrate on their own, you know what I mean, and understand it. So, but yeah, that's it, bud.
Very good. Really, Nick Garrelay, myfloridagreen.com. Check it out. Thanks, man.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick Garrelay, for stopping by this week. Make sure you check out his website at myfloridagreen.com. It's been a joy speaking with you, as it always is, every week. Sunday, 6:15 here on Radio St. Pete Podcast, whenever you want, on demand. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. That's Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay, on Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. While you're there, give it a 5-star rating. I certainly very much appreciate that. It's a little thing you can do to help us out, and I will love you long time. That's right. I said it. I'm not ashamed. A little bit ashamed. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I will talk to you next week. Have a good one. Adios. I don't like adios. Goodbye. We'll go with that.